Welcome to the Essential Shift Podcast. My name is Laetitia Andrac. If you're a mission-driven entrepreneur looking to grow your soul-aligned business by blending strategy, practical tips, and spiritual wisdom, you're in the right place. Enjoy these conversations about the art of mastering essential shifts in all areas of business and life. Open your heart and mind to all the possibilities that are waiting for you. Hello, welcome to a new episode of the Essential Shift Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about authenticity and how to be your authentic self. I know many of you have been told to be authentic as business owner, as leaders, yet we don't know how to be our true selves when for a long time we try to be someone else. So my approach to this is really connecting with your intuition, with your higher self. And today I am having a special guest on the podcast, and it's Kat Joan. Kat Joan is an authenticity coach. She's a keynote speaker, and she's soon an author. She signed with Penguin to write a book, and she's a creator of Zero Fuck Movement. And for 8 years, she's been working with people to help them powerfully manage their thoughts in their head so they can remember the truth of who they really are and live a life that is true and genuine to them. Kat is a podcast host of Real, Raw and Relatable. We met at a book launch in Bondi Junction a few months ago, and we clicked straight away for our authentic approach, for our way to talk, way to relate around intuition. And you are going to be inspired by this conversation when Kat shares her own health journey and self-discovery story. She shares about the NoFuck movement and how it can help and how she created it, but also how to be your authentic self. And we speak a bit about business as well, of course, and how intuition plays a role, but also consistency and resilience in business. There is nothing like overnight success, and we agree on that with Kat. So I am sure you're going to love this podcast episode. Don't hesitate to message myself or Kat when you listen to it. And as I always ask you, please hit the follow button, follow this podcast, leave a review, share it with a friend. The more listener we get, the more I can bring guests on the podcast like Kat by saying our numbers and the number of people that are following this podcast and listening to this podcast weekly and sharing it and all of that. So please keep it coming. It is a pleasure to bring to you Kat today, and let me know what are your key takeaway. I can't wait to read your messages on Instagram at essential.shift. Without further ado, I leave you to this beautiful interview. Hello, Kat. Thank you so much for being on the Essential Shift Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
It's so nice to have you on the show after meeting you in person a little while ago and discovering the beautiful energy that you have online and in person. It's such a joy.
Thank you. Much appreciated. And it's nice to see you again too.
Yeah, thank you. So today we're going to talk about you and your business and all the beautiful things that you've created around your brand. But before we get into that topic, I love to always invite our guests to share a bit more about who they are as a human being. And you can share with us if you know anything about your astrology sign or your faith, whatever is coming up for you around who you are and what we need to know about this.
Beautiful. So I know my star sign, I'm a Libran. I remember a while ago, you know, that rising moon thing in astrology, I absolutely forget what that's it is. Okay. So that's pointless in me even bringing it up. I know that I'm some kind of generator / something when it comes to the, what's it called? You know, those
human design. So are you,
that's it, human
generator?
Design.
Are you
I'm pretty sure I'm a manifesting generator. Yeah, yes.
You must be.
Yeah. And what else do I know about my Science. One other thing that I know is that out of the four clairs, I'm not sure if you're aware of the four
Yeah, no,
clairs,
of course.
clairsentience, yeah, clairaudience. So my strong suit is clairsentience, my ability to feel beyond what is there, which is a blessing and a curse at times. It can be very difficult to feel the energy in a room that is uncomfortable or awkward, or the things that people aren't saying, and you know what they are saying. It's like, oh, I wish I could turn this off. But then at other times, it is a true gift in many ways, as a business owner, as a bonus mum, as a partner, and all of that jazz, as a coach. So that I guess all of that, adds up to this human that I am, motioning through the world and trying to, always trying to, not trying, but I guess uncovering layers of myself that I've buried, that I've shamed, that I've made wrong, that I've said you're bad, that I've said you're not allowed to be here. Yeah, I really am that ever evolving soul, here as a human, and collecting more of myself along the way, the good, the bad, the ugly. So that kind of sums me up in a nutshell.
I love it. Thank you for sharing all of that, Kat. And definitely with the way you are clairsentience, and I'm clairsentience as well, and clairaudience. I'm not clairvoyant, but I really declare audience and clairsentient. And it's really true that when we are clairsentient, we really feel the space and feel the energy of the space. And with the work that you are doing, and you're going to share in a minute about how you ended up doing this work, the energy of a room is really something that you must feel. So it's
Something.
actually
Oh,
a
yeah.
gift, but also sometimes can be very taxing on you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So for, anyone who don't know your business or don't know what you're doing, it's okay. We're going to go through your origin story. How did you end up creating this business? Can you take us, because a lot of listeners are established businesses, other are starting out, and some are in this messy middle where they started something, they fell out of love with it, and they just need to figure out what is the next best thing. So if you can take us through your own journey of ZeroFuck and learning about how you've navigated that journey, because you've been in business for quite some time, right?
Yeah, this will be my 10th year this
Yes,
year.
that's what I had in mind, but I didn't want to say anything wrong. So yeah, do you want to share with anyone your origin story? How did you end up doing the work that you're doing today?
All I guess, to my little logic brain, it was all by accident. But, as I said before, my soul's evolution was like, this is exactly how we're gonna get her to shift, change, and morph into something as to what she's really meant to be doing. So, prior to my life now, prior to the work that I'm doing now, I was actually a registered nurse, and I was working in the public hospitals, in cardiothoracics, neonatal ICU, children's cancer center. I always wanted to be in the caring space. I think I just naturally gave a shit about people. My mum's a nurse. My dad, he was an accountant, but he very much was around volunteering. And they grew up quite poor. Mum's in the Philippines. Mum grew up in the Philippines, and dad here. And they had very strong roots in their family. And we were very much brought up, my brother and I, as privileged. But they, mum and dad, made sure that we saw where they came from and that they knew what they had come from. So there was this very giving nature, I think, that was just natural and innate. And again, if you go to the star signs, the human design, and all that kind of stuff, it adds up to get a life path, etc. So when I was studying to be a nurse, I was going out partying a lot on the weekends and taking all the wonderful concoction of things that made me as high as a kite and dance the night away, basically. And there was this one night where I had this very awful pain flare up in the back of my right shoulder blade. And it was nothing like I had felt before. It was like fire had just went boom and had lit in my body. And I thought, that's not good. Intuitively not good. But the cat back then was Little Miss Ignorant. Little Miss, I'll be fine. Little Miss, I don't want to deal with anything that's hard. And I was really at that time in my life running away from a difficult past and a past that had been haunting me that I just didn't want to deal with. So I was just like, how can I squash it down? I'll squash it down through going out partying and having fun. But along the way, there were these nudges, that had turned into like baseball bat hits, that had turned into a big Mack truck, like coming and hitting me in the face, that were like, we're going to wake you up now, girlfriend. And this pain over a course of 5 years. So this is how avoidant I was. For 5 years, I didn't do anything about it, but it spread through my body. And I was 18 at the time. I then went into nursing. I stopped the party scene, at least like say 90%. And then I went into the hospital settings, but the shift work really messed up with this pain that was in my body, and it was turning into like chronic nerve pain at that time. So I started taking prescribed medications, and it started off quite low dose and then ended up at Endone, oxycodone, tramadol, Valium type stuff. And I was becoming dependent upon it. And again, whilst I was nursing, I would walk and I would my eyes would flicker. I'd walk, I'd miss some steps. But I didn't want to address what was going on. My hands were swollen, and I was in chronic, constant nerve pain. So I left traditional nursing after a good number of years because the shift work was just killing my body with this pain that was there. So I worked for a plastic surgeon and a 9-to-5 job, like trying to look for basically the answers outside of myself, just like, okay, cool, if I do this, then that should be better and my pain will go away magically and all will be well. But there was one day, I was 23 now at this time. I was at the top of the stairs to go get the next patient with my boss, and I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk down the step. My brain and my foot just had no, there was no connection. There was no communication. And my boss looked at me and he's like, what are you doing? We've got to go get the next patient. And I looked back at him and I just said, I can't move. I can't walk. And he was aware of what had been going on in my body. And the way that he looked back at me, I shat myself. I thought, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble here. And so once movement came back and I was able to walk, I went and had an MRI. We got the results and we're all like, what the hell is this? No one can read this. We don't know what it means. And then 2 days later, I'm in a neurosurgeon's office being told that I have a congenital brain condition that is very slowly, if not corrected, will slowly turn me into a paraplegic. And I was like, can you repeat that again, please? So I had brain surgery at 23 to correct what was going on in my body. And it corrected everything in my body, but for 5 years, my nerves were so compressed by my brain being too big and it jamming down in my spinal cord and these benign tumors being in my spinal cord, that my nerves were like a kinked hose. And so the water or connection couldn't move through my body beautifully. So there were all these like fiery warped signals sent to the rest of my body, which is then the nerve pain. And that was pretty debilitating. So I said to my surgeon, like, I'm 23. How the hell am I supposed to live like this? And he said, you may just have to manage this for the rest of your life. And at that time, I was very depressed, dark, unhappy, overweight, all of those things. And he gave me this medication that said, look, this try this, this may work. And that medication completely blacked me out. It took away whatever light was left, whatever hope was left, whatever possibility of a different future left. And it was the first time that, not the first time, but it was really a dark time where I thought, I don't want to be here anymore. And so, long story short, I reached out to my family and I said to them, I need help. I need real help, like proper help. I'm scaring myself. And I was put in front of a professor of neurology, and he said, "You've been dealt a shit card. There's no doubt about that. But I reckon you can change this for yourself if you really want to." And I never heard anyone talk to me like that. It was very new age stuff, like your beliefs and thoughts and affirmation and manifestation, all that kind of stuff. It was hella new age back then. And he said, "Kat, Olympic athletes will train for their gold medal, and they will rest, they will sleep, they will meditate, they will eat, they'll train, they'll do everything they have to do to have that gold medal around their neck because they want it so bad." And he said, "I need you to want something as bad and as much as an Olympic athlete wants that gold medal, and so much so that you're willing to train for it every day." And he just said, "Close your eyes and tell me what you want, Kat." And I said, "Doc, I want to be free. I want to be free to be me. I want to be free to be happy. I want to be free to live my life. I want to dance again. I want to engage with life again." And he said, "That's your gold medal." And he said, "Your invisible prescription for 12 months is to imagine that cat every day and do one thing that serves her." And I was like, "Who the fuck is this nutty professor? Who is he? What's he on? And should I take his advice?" But he was like a he is a top-notch professor at the Austin Hospital. And so I went away and I did what he said. And I also asked if I could stop taking medication so I could do this clean. I wanted to do it clean and with no fog in my brain. So I was so foggy from the medication. And every day I'd wake up, I'd play music, I'd imagine that cat, I'd feel her, sense her, all of those beautiful things. I added all the clairs into one, all the clairs into one. And I saw her, I felt her, I knew her, I missed her, I heard her, all of it. And every day I just started to move closer toward her. I would ask her, "What can I do today to be closer to you? What can I do today to be closer to you?" And often that for me was engaging back with life. I would move my body, I'd walk, I'd run, I'd go to Pilates, even though I was still in chronic pain. I just thought, "Fuck it, I'm giving this everything that I've got." And within 10 months, I was a brand new fucking human. I was a brand new human. I had no chronic pain, and I still don't to this day. I was on no medication, and I'm still not to this day. I'd lost all the weight that I had put on from medicating and not moving my body. And I thought to myself, and by this time I was 24, and I thought, "I don't know what the hell I've done, but I need to go find out what I've done." And that sent me on a quest. My quest had begun to learn, study, really sink my teeth into, like I said, what have I done to myself, and I want to go figure it out. So I studied different, many different things and many different modalities, which then led to the next layer of that voice inside that said, "You've got a calling, darling, and you've got to listen to it. Nursing is not it." And that was the beginning of what has led me to here today.
It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing all that story, Kat. It's really inspiring. And for anyone listening to this podcast and being like, "Oh my goodness, I am kind of stuck in a day-to-day or in a body pain," it's really beautiful to hear you sharing how we can reclaim that power and listening to the nudge. It's so funny how it's the same with me. I was not listening to the nudge. I had to not be able to wake up in a morning, being lying down in my bed, to actually listen to, "Okay, you've pushed yourself too hard." We like it. Many of us, unfortunately, don't listen to the subtle sign. We wait till we are a bit down the track. But then this is a blessing, the silver lining is the next time we listen to the subtle sign. When I have very subtle sign, I'm like, "Ooh, stop there, babe. You're going to go down the rabbit hole again. Go again."
Yes. I couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more.
So now, Kat, with you speak about, the no fuck movement and really creating this beautiful, empowering community around you. And how did you grow this business, and how did this grew to this thriving community Do you have any tips for anyone who is listening to this? And I don't know if you know, but we are entering this new stage with Pluto being in Aquarius, and it's asking more and more community, collaboration, co-creation, and this collective of healed human coming together. So, this is really timely. But any tips for anyone who's listening to this and craving to actually create a movement like this, sharing their expertise, their experience, and their knowledge beyond closed door?
I mean, look, first things first, the first 3 years of me in business were fucking hard. They were really hard. I was sinking, but I had to swim because I left my nursing role, or more specifically, my boss gave me a 10 grand check and he said, "Get out. The world needs you more than we need you. You need to go and do your thing in the world." But I was so scared that I was like, "Ah, I'll put it off, I'll put it off, I'll put it off." And then again, I got booted out. So the first 3 years were so messy. I made like 30 grand profit, not even 30 grand profit, 30 grand gross in my first year of business. Like, it was fucking rough. I was turning on, I would not turn on the electricity. I'd use candles for light. I had rice, tuna when I was not vegan back then, rice, tuna, eggs, couldn't even afford a fucking avocado. Like, I did it tough. I was doing nursing shifts on the side. So by no means to what as to what you see today is where it began. I had no community. I had no Instagram, none of that. None of it existed. But I had fucking tenacity. I had the resilience in me to go, nah, I have not been woken up by some great big giant force in me and outside of me where there's a match that has said, this is what you're meant to be doing. I have not done this for nothing. And so I will find a way. And yes, that means I will need to hustle. Yes, that means I will need to try this, fuck up that, try it again, fuck it up again. But always learning from, the mess, right? The first 3 years, they were ill. They were ill. So really what I think that I've done well though is I've remained consistent in showing up despite what is going on internally. And that has now become my strong suit. So when I the beauty of me being an authenticity coach is that if I show up to a speaking gig, if I show up on Instagram, if I talk on Instagram or even to my podcast, I'll be like, peeps, I'm in such anxiety right now. I am peaking with anxiety. And I start talking about it and I start letting it out and I start clearing it as I talk about it. And I'm like, all right, cool. Now let's get to the topic today. I just wanted to get that out of me and show up authentically. That is now because it's part of me and I get to share that, it's a real big bonus. I have no I've set up my business as a way that I don't have to show up perfectly all the time because that's not how I want to show up all the time anyway. And it's not how we show up all the time anyway. So I think what I've done well and what other people do well when they do well is they show up consistently despite what the gnarly thoughts in their head are telling them. And I think what can happen is when we start out with our business, we go through these cool periods, and then we have all this energy where everything's going well. And then when the movement starts to settle a little bit, where the traction starts to get stuck, the thoughts in our head start to get loud, gnarly, crazy. Then we start to feel like shit, and then we don't want to show up because we're like, "Ugh, I feel like a loser. I feel like a failure. I feel like this. I feel like that." And then we don't show up. And so then people who are our audience, who are our clients, our future clients, there's this unspokenness of, oh, I just can't rely on this person. It's a brand that I can't fully
Can't
trust or feel
trust.
like I'm exactly, yeah. So for me, with the Zero Fucks movement, this started probably, I think, 2018, must have been 2018, so a while ago now. It started out as a, again, accidental. you know, again, accidental, but also soul evolution. I've always used dance as a way to express myself. And there was this one day I was dancing in my room, and it's a little voice inside that just said, "Share it." And this is when Instagram was a photo-based platform. So dancing online was like, who the fuck is doing that? Whereas now it's like every Tom, Dick, and Harry are doing it, you know? So back then it was like not a common thing. And this voice just said, share it, record it and share it. And I was like, oh my gosh, no. And I didn't have a big community then, didn't have a big community then, online. But I listened to the nudge and I shared it and I spoke about it. And it was just meant to be one video. And my audience were just like, we love this. We want to feel confident to do that. We want to feel confident to dance like you dance. They said, we can't wait till next Tuesday. And I was like, what the hell is this next Tuesday business? Because I posted it on a Tuesday. I'm like, what are they talking about? And literally the movement created like that. The movement created like that. So the next Tuesday I showed up, danced. Again, people were so wrapped up in it. And I think what I was showing them was I was showing them an embodied example of freedom, an
Yes.
embodied example of liberty, an embodied example of I do care about my ego cares about what you might comment below this, but also I don't care enough because here I am dancing, posting it, right? So without saying all these words online, I was sharing it through movement. And I think people can feel that. People can feel that embodied self. And for 5 years, that's what I did. And I still do it. Every Tuesday, I do a dance and I share a message. And then reels became super popular. People then started to send in their own dances. I then created events, zero fucks dance parties. And then late 2022, early 2023, I believe in this thing called the tipping point or an accumulative effect, where you do something consistently and eventually it's going to tip, you know, and you never know when that's going to tip. And for me, it was late 2022, 2023, where my online following was 32,000. And when within a matter of 4 months, it went up to over 500,000. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? But I knew exactly what was happening. I knew exactly, it was just the right time for things to shift. And I get that that's hard for people listening because you think, what am I doing this for? What's the point? Should I just give this up now? No one's listening, no one's commenting, no one's this, no one's that, no one's buying. But like I said, when you've got that, oh no, something in me says to keep at it, and you don't give a fuck about the thoughts in your head that need that reassurance. But you do it for the sake of your own expression, for the sake of serving someone who's going to be listening to that, something will shift. I believe that anyway. That's my belief system.
And I'm with you with that. And it's what, you know, we call in finance a compound effect. It's exactly what you describe. It's you never
Yeah,
know, you
that's
put
it.
$5, $5, $5. And
Exactly.
then one day you check and like, oh my goodness, all of
That's
that
it.
compounded and compounded and compounded. And this is really beautiful to take us back to the beginning. And how many people are watching someone else chapter 10 and they're like, oh my goodness. Look at that. It's so easy, but actually, there is a journey. There is a
Oh,
process behind the scene and things happening and things moving through. And actually, yes, the first 3 years were really hard. But if you take us back to your origin story, what you shared, it's been years in the making and seeing,
years
you
in
know,
the making.
accumulating all of this knowledge. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, watching my business, be like, oh, Leticia, it's been only 3 years. How can you have such a thriving business? I have grinded as a strategy consultant for big firm for 16 years and, you know, taken all that knowledge and experience and expertise. But oh my goodness, late night and working on the weekend. Like, it's just, there is no easy path. There
There
is
is
your
no easy
path.
path. There is no easy path. You're exactly right. And that's the hard thing. And, you know, even when you do so-called make it, it's still not easy
It's
because then
not.
you have these new visions for yourself. You want to, or either you want to maintain where you're at, and that's also, that can be difficult. You want to create new goals for yourself and intentions for yourself. And you're like, fuck, there's my next stretch. And it's we're always in a dance with where we're at, where we'd like to be, and then the mess that goes on in between.
Yeah.
So it's not easy for anyone, even though it may look easy on the outside.
Completely. And the first time I met your cat, so I didn't know about you, didn't know about your movement. I'm just going to share with the listeners this moment of me being so authentic. And so we were at this book launch and we're sitting side by side. And I asked you what you were doing. And you told me you were an authenticity coach. You started writing your book, which we will talk about in a moment. And I was like, oh, this is my business card, because I'm pretty sure you have a lot of people liking your work, because I could feel your energy. And then you gave me your Instagram account. You're like, oh my goodness, how many followers? Who are you, girl? Like, what is that? And so it was so interesting how I knew before knowing how your work would be impacting so many people. And many listener here knows that I live a bit of in my cave. I don't really consume as much social media as, maybe my clients do, because I love to protect my own energy, being, kind of very gifted with mediumship gift and things like that. So I like to protect my own energy and live in my cave. So I'm not really like the fun girl looking at all the, the influencer on the Instagram and so on. But what came out of this meeting with you was really your energy and how you are definitely embodying the brand. And I think that's where everything shifted for you in 2022. It's just there is so many people who are
Totally.
pretending, but then when you scratch the surface, you're like, this is just pretend. This is not true. Whereas I saw you in the flesh, and then I started following you on Instagram. And oh, she's the same girl. She's
She's
exactly
the
the same.
same.
She's the same. That's power. It was just
Yeah,
medicine
thank
with
you.
you.
Yeah, no, I think I appreciate that. Look, I always say my purpose, my true purpose here on this planet is to be myself. That's it. That is my true ultimate purpose, is to be myself. And what I believe is that my business has now become a natural extension of that. And so, like, I mean, it'd be pretty fucking shit if my purpose was to be me, but then I was trying to be someone else. But that has been my journey my whole life. Well, at least the first, let's say, 25 years of my life, where I was anyone but me. And so I wasn't on purpose. And then the desire to be me was so damn strong. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that, because my purpose is me. And to stay that way, and to realize and recognize when I feel uncomfortable being me, and then get curious as to why that is, and why did I feel like I needed to act that way? Why did I feel like I wanted to act that way? And then find my center again. So, my business is really an extension of it.
Yes, definitely. And we can feel that. And some things that you mentioned is the cyclical ways that business is, and how we think we made it and then whew, something happened, whether it's an external situation or it's an internal situation, but we go through cycle. And I teach a lot around the cycle, of being a woman, the cycle of our moon cycle, our bleeding cycles, all of those kind of thing. And you've mentioned quickly how your business is cyclical. So would you like to share with our listener, how do you handle those moments where, it was a big high and then it's a big flop and then it's a lower high and then you're stretching yourself in becoming an author? Like, how do you navigate this?
Sometimes really well, sometimes not so well, to be fair. It really depends on the fucking day. Like, this morning I woke up and I was just, my ego and its stories had hijacked me, fully hijacked me, and I'm like, ugh. I'm gonna have to work hard to get back to fucking ground zero today. I'm gonna have to work really hard to get back to ground zero. But like, for example, there was a particular year or a few years where I did really well financially, and it was great. But by the end of those couple of years, I was very burnt out, very burnt out. And I made a choiceful decision to shift the way that I was doing things. And that I brought back my well-being, but that cost me the money that I was earning before. So I knew that I had made that decision choicefully. I knew that my money was going to go down, but I knew that in time I would find this beautiful dance and balance between keeping my well-being intact and earning great income, right? So that was a time where I'm like, all right, I'm cool with that. Then there's this, like, for example, this economic tough time where naturally in the past my programs would be filling like this. And at the moment, if I'm being completely real and honest, it's not filling as fast as what it used to. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I doing? Am I doing anything wrong? Am I not putting this enough out? Am I putting too much out? And then I have to look at circumstances that are out of my control. That's
Completely.
probably what I find frustrating. Because, but also I find humbling because everyone's going through it. A lot of people who I know in the coaching space, and a lot of my friends who are solopreneurs or entrepreneurs are like, shit, man, I've had to cancel a few things because of what would usually be filled and not filled. So, there are, I guess when it's choiceful, I know that I'm doing this to myself for myself. When it's not, I find it frustrating, and I've really had to keep my ego in check. And then there are times if it's not flowing, and let's say the economic is booming, then I have to look at, okay, is what I'm putting out or what I want to bring in, is it really what I want to be doing? So there's one where it's choiceful, there's one where it's out of my control, and then there's like, have I missed the mark here? Do I need to listen to a voice, quite deep internally that's saying, you don't want to be doing this. You've got to clear some stuff out. You've got to retract this. And that's kind of where I'm like, oh, I feel icky, sticky, because I know that there's more inner work for me to do. So it differs, to be honest. It completely differs. But I always find my way back to center. I find my way back there eventually.
Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for your honesty. And definitely right now, and I have shared that openly on the podcast around the trends for 2024, because as a former strategist, I love to look at big trends and so on. And there is definitely right now a bit of a slowdown, but it's gonna pick up.
Totally.
So it's something that is definitely outside of your control zone. So it's about planning ahead and identifying how you can mitigate this cash flow
That's right.
transparency and making sure that you're keeping your cash flow. So I love that you shared that transparently. And how do you find your center? Because people love on this podcast when I share my own rituals or when my clients share their rituals. I'm huge on rituals and making space for your intuition to be listened to. What are your rituals? How do you get back to listening to the nudge, to your intuition, finding your center? I'm sure you're going to say
So
dance.
from,
Let's ask
well,
him.
yeah, dance is definitely one of them. Dance is definitely one of them because it clears so much, and then I'm just left with vast space, and I'm like, oh, my body, I can hear my body, I can feel my body, I can hear my intuition. It's just stunning. So dance is absolutely one of them. But the others are Qigong, the practice of mindful movement. My gosh, absolutely stunning. I use a practice called 3 Good Minutes in the mornings where I always go for my walk, go to the gym, that kind of thing. But that I don't really hear my intuition because I'm just kind of on like, let's move my body. I just want to get my body moving. For me to help me come back to my center, it's like chosen practices. So my 3 Good Minutes is I just come up to my space where I am now. I close my eyes. I put the timer on for 3 minutes and I sit. Sometimes I might listen to music, but I'm just sitting in stillness, sitting in stillness. And then I take out my journal and something will always want to come out onto the page. It might be a note from my future self. It might be a thought of the day. It might be something to be focusing on that I'm not currently focusing on. So Qigong, three good minutes, journaling, and really one journaling that I really love to do is future self journaling. So I'll write to her and I'll say, you know, this is where I am right now and I feel frustrated and I feel like this and I feel like that. And then I go into the feeling of her, I embody her and I write back from her to the current me. I fucking love that. I love that so much. And solo walks. So I usually in the mornings walk with Steve and my two dogs, but I'm distracted by them. And we're going for solo walks with myself. Immediately, I'm like, let's chat, you know. And that's really, they're my core practices.
I love it. Thank you for sharing, Kat. So let's get into your legacy. What is going to be your legacy?
Interesting question. What is going to be my legacy? I mean, for me, it's not so much like a thing, let's say, like I mean, yes, it'd be a book. It'd be books in the world that when I leave this world, there'll be things left behind. But it's a message, you know. It's a message to the world and to the people who, when my time is past and I'm no longer here, that when they listen to my podcast still, and that when they see me on YouTube, whatever tube it's going to be in the future, when they read my books, if books are still going to be a thing when I'm dead, it's that message of please, please find you in there, underneath who you think you have to be, who you think the world wants you to be, who you think you have to act like in order to be more palatable, in order to be more likable, in order to fit in. Please, beneath that, find the you in there, because from there, such beauty can take place. The beauty that you can create in the world, the authentic life that finally gets to be lived. It's that message that I want to be my legacy, because I really do believe that when people come home to their real, genuine, true essence self, I mean, fuck the harm we're doing to others, the harm we're doing to the planet, the harm we're doing to the animals on the planet. It's pretty fucking hard to turn a blind eye when you're connected to that part of yourself. You know, there's too much responsibility, there's too much accountability, there's too much like, oh no, I can't do that. I can't do that because I know the impact. That action creates that action, that reaction. That's my legacy.
Thank you for sharing. It's really inspiring. So you mentioned quickly there will be books, and there is one that you're writing at the moment. Would you mind sharing a bit more for our listener about this book that you're writing, when it is going to be out, all of those kind of thing, if you already have a pre-order date? If not, it's all good. But it's just when we met, you were in the process of writing this book. And since then, I'm sure you've gone through potentially the editing process or wherever you are in the journey. I'm curious as well to know, where are you on the
So
journey?
still on the journey, still in the writing journey. So the
Yeah.
manuscript has been handed in.
Perfect.
That we are now in the structural edit period of time. The book is coming out in August. The specific date, we're not sure just yet. But it's coming out August 2024. And fundamentally, this book is about coming home to self. When I was speaking to my publisher, we talked about all the books that I want to write, and but I said to them, like you said, the legacy. I said, but if I die tomorrow, if a bus gets me, if a train gets me, if a I don't know what gets me, the book that I want in the world is for people to come home to themselves, and to know how to do that. And so in there's my story, there's client stories, there's tools inside of there. But it's a beautiful, beautiful storytelling book, where people can see themselves more clearly, their false self more clearly, and how their true, genuine self can begin to shine through. So, yeah.
Very excited, but it's going to be beautiful. And I love what you said when We have multiple books in us, and I truly believe that after having written my first book last year and publishing it and all of that and going through the process. And I remember how when I was writing this one, I was like, if I write only one book, it would be this one about intuition and not burnout and how to really trust that voice within you. And I have other books that I'd love to write, but
This one.
this one has to be the first. And then we'll do the other
Then,
one.
yeah, totally,
And the first one
totally.
is the hardest to write, I heard. So I think this is where, putting all the commitments, the tenacity, as you said, the love, the purpose, because it's a journey, hey, writing a book. It's a journey.
And then when you get back the edits, you're like, ah, they've touched my book. Oh. So, now I'm in the process of like, do I want this to be here? Do I want that to be there? But it is, it's I've loved it. I actually really loved it. When I hand you my manuscript, I'm like, oh, I miss writing. I'm like, but I also really enjoyed the break from when they sent it back. But I really did enjoy, and I have still am enjoying the process. I still don't know my title. I still don't know the title of my book. I know that it will come. It will come in a dream. It'll come in a sign. It'll come in, I'll be meditating and then bang, it's there. But yeah, I'm loving writing, really loving writing.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear how you navigate through the journey. I love the writing, the structural edit. When it came back for me, I had to take 2 or 3 months off. I was like, I need to digest. I really need to digest this feedback and see how I want to restructure this part and how, like, I really needed to give myself some time, which I explained in my book, which is, the H of honoring in my framework. So really honoring that. And then I enjoyed going back and writing again, but then I hated the last mile. It's like, and this is my journey, this is my persona, the details, the last bit of editing. And the title came last. Very funny. The
That's cool.
title
That's cool.
really came last. So I can't wait to hear all about it. So let's move to the fire question, and then I'll
Okay.
ask you how people can connect with you. So you
Sure.
just finished the sentence. Don't think, just connect to your heart.
Okay.
Intuition is
Hearing the voice inside of you.
strategy is
Strategy is. My brain's like, strategy, strategy. What is strategy? I guess that is using the beauty and the power of your mind for benefit, for good benefit.
business is
My answer was fucking hard.
that. Okay, two last. Something I wish I knew sooner is.
To be kinder to myself.
And something I want to share with everyone is.
That Steve and I are finally getting married next month. After so many years of not.
Thank you so much, Kat, for being on the podcast. So for everyone who listens to this and they're like, oh my goodness, I want to follow Kat. I want to work with Kat. I want to learn more about her book, all the thing. How can they connect with you?
You can head to my website, katjohn.com.au. So katjohn.com.au. That's where you'll, I guess, see a bit more about me. You can plug into my podcast, which is Real Raw Relatable. You'll see my Zero Fucks 6 month coaching program, which you can join, which is such a cool program. And then you can also jump on my Instagram from there too, kat.john, where you'll see some fun stuff.
Yes, and all the links are in the show notes. So don't hesitate to reach out to Kate and really explore all her magic. You've been an awesome guest. Thank you so much, Kat, for coming on
Thank you.
today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning into the Essential Shift podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, leave a review, and even give it a shout out on social media. You can find me at essential.shift on Instagram. Until next episode, blessed be.